You've seen our research on social media. Now, join us as we dive deeper into the public health topics of our time, featuring new studies and findings generated by our faculty and researchers committed to advancing health equity. From the Department of Population and Public Health Sciences at Keck School of Medicine of USC, this is Preventive Pros, the podcast.
I'm Sheree Farzan. I'm an associate professor of environmental health here at USC, and I've been co-leading a study of children's respiratory health in the Imperial Valley for about 7 years. And I'm here with Connie today.
Hi, my name is Connie Valencia, and I'm a first-year postdoc. I'm one of the Sustainability Solutions Community Engagement Fellows. I'm currently working in the Environmental Justice Research Lab with Dr. Joe Johnson.
So today we're going to be talking about our work in Imperial Valley around children's respiratory health. My background has been investigating how environmental contaminants influence health, particularly in vulnerable populations such as children and during early life. And I really try to understand how exposures over the life course can impact health. And so, Connie, why don't you tell us about your research as well?
My focus has been on understanding factors and predominantly facilitators and barriers to civic engagement among that facilitate engagement and conversation and issues regarding to environmental justice and air pollution among low-income immigrant communities. And I am also looking at what the role of nonprofits, local organizations, what is their role in engaging residents in these issues?
What we did was we were invited by the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences to host the director, Rick Wojcik, and a few other members of the NIEHS staff to visit us in Imperial Valley and visit our community that we've been working in for the past 7 years. And so what they asked us to do was bring together community members to help the director understand more about the environmental health issues in the community, as well as ongoing issues. And so we hosted a toxic tour where we took the director and a group of folks around the Northern Imperial Valley to view certain sites that are sites of environmental contamination, hear about communities' concerns, and then we brought community members together in a forum to discuss issues relevant to folks in the Northern Imperial Valley.
Sheree, can you tell us a little bit about how long have you been working in the Imperial Valley?
So I have been working there. I co-lead a study with Dr. Jill Johnston, and we have been working there for about 7 years. We have partnered with a community organization in Imperial called Comité Cívico del Valle. And we originally began working in Imperial because we were concerned about the Salton Sea. And so if you have not heard of the Salton Sea, it's a very large, very shallow saline lake. It has no natural inflows, but it's been sustained by agricultural runoff from irrigation from nearby fields for decades. And so these rivers drain into the sea and so can carry a lot of toxic contaminants that have settled into the sediment. But due to a number of factors, the Salton Sea is now drying up and is becoming more and more salty. And as it dries, it's revealing more and more of the shoreline or the playa. And so this contains really fine, easily mobilized sediments that can blow into the air and then can be inhaled in and affect respiratory health. And so we originally began doing research in this area around the impacts of the Salton Sea on air quality. But as we spent more time with our community partners and hearing from parents in the community, the focus really shifted to respiratory health among children. There are very high rates of asthma in this region. And so it became clear that respiratory health was the big concern and that had to be the focus of our research.
Sure. Can you also please share more about your research in this community?
So we've been working with our community partners and with schools in this area. And we, over the last several years, we have enrolled a cohort of about 700 children, and we followed them over time to gather information about their respiratory health, as well as information about their environments and how environmental contaminants may be impacting their respiratory health. And so this is a rural, highly economically disadvantaged region, and it's burdened by a number of environmental factors. What we're finding is that there are very high rates of asthma in this community. Among children, we see about 22% of children have a diagnosis of asthma, and even more children experience respiratory symptoms like wheezing and dry cough that may be signals of other respiratory health issues. We've found that exposures to particulate matter in the Imperial Valley may be related to asthma and some of the symptoms that we are seeing among children. For example, we're seeing that particulate matter levels are related to greater odds of experiencing wheezing among kids, and that these symptoms may be worse among kids that live closer to the Salton Sea, so maybe getting more impacts of that playa dust.
There are many environmental injustices in this particular area. Many of the residents are facing a lack of resources. There's a lack of resources in the community that really related to health. As Sheree mentioned, there's a high rate of asthma. In a previous study conducted by Sheree and Joe Johnson, it was found that 22% of children, which is one in five children, have experienced asthma. And recently, two of the local hospitals have closed down. This is really significant because when there's a lack of access of many resources, it's a community that lacks a proper infrastructure. Like there's no playing area, there's no indoor playing area, there's lack of shade, there's no infrastructure that will help reduce the onset of asthma. And also many of the residents, you know, that they are very low income. So sometimes there's issue of transportation, there's issue of being able to afford quality health care. And many kids are not able to get a proper asthma management services because especially when the nearest hospital might be 30 minutes to an hour away. And unfortunately, there's been cases where it's not easy for parents to access these services. And many times, you know, parents are not, they have to manage with what they have. And so if you're looking at it from a public health perspective, there's a need to bring more hospitals, to bring more funding to help sustain those hospitals, to bring more funding to help sustain the medical services to support these families. Also, access to healthy food. There's no grocery stores are very limited. There's a lack of not only grocery stores. We're talking about some parents might not be able to walk to a local grocery store. They have to drive or take a bus. The closest grocery store might be about 30 minutes to an hour away for some people.
So, you know, when we started working in the area, everyone acknowledged the fact that there were a lot of children with respiratory breathing issues, allergies, and everybody said, you know, respiratory health is such an important issue here and everybody has problems, but there was very little documentation of it. And so something that we did as part of our study was actually look at the numbers and put numbers to what people already, you know, were feeling and what they knew. And so we were able to give them that information that then can be used to help advocate for more support for programs like asthma management programs, like point out the need for greater health services around identifying respiratory health issues, particularly among children. So I think that's what our research can help contribute to.
Sheree, can you elaborate on some of the other considerations when documenting this issue?
One of the things that has come up recently is the proposal of lithium extraction in this area. So it was recently found that there is a very large deposit of lithium below the ground in northern Imperial Valley. There's already a lot of geothermal activity, and so there is effort to directly extract lithium through the geothermal infrastructure. And so, you know, this is a new process, but this area is poised to extract a lot of lithium to help supply the growing energy transition to electric vehicles. And so as this area has become spotlighted in the national conversation around energy transitions, there is a huge need for this lithium resource. And so one of the things that hasn't been considered in the conversation is how this new extraction technology will impact health in the area, as well as the needs for growing infrastructure, more traffic, more transportation through this area that could impact air quality as lithium extraction really ramps up. And so one of the things that we are considering as we move forward is how to more fully understand the health impacts of this energy transition, particularly as it relates to lithium extraction in Imperial.
There's a lot of things that need to be known about lithium extraction. Part of the complexities of this issue is that this project is going to bring more trucking. It's going to impact the level of air pollution, and which in the long run, especially in areas of high heat, and this is, I have to mention that when you're there, when we were in to visit, I had to remind myself we're in California, and I had to remind myself about an hour and a half away from Los Angeles. But most importantly, the heat, that's something that everybody talks about. Once again, if we talk about this from a public health issue, we need to think about, you know, ways of reducing heat, because with increased heat, that can also increase the onset of many other illnesses, and it can also spike the need for healthcare services. Also, in addition to that, from an environmental justice perspective, it's important, as according to SB 1000, the law was intended for governments to engage local residents in issues regarding the design and planning of the city and city-related initiatives. And unfortunately, there's a lack or there's not enough engagement between residents and some of the partners that are currently working on the lithium extraction projects. And so there needs to be more conversations so that with the goal that residents' needs are met and residents' concerns are addressed.
So Connie, could you speak a little bit about some of the community perceptions around the environmental health issues in Imperial, and also, you know, what you've heard from community members about how they've been engaged and how they might like to be engaged around some of these issues?
There is definitely a mix. There were some residents that were interviewed, and they were interviewed last year. And unfortunately, some residents were not aware of the lithium extraction. Some people heard about this, but they feel that it's a good thing because their perceptions is that the Salton Sea is going to be is going to become a recreational area, and for families. And then, but then there's another group of people that are concerned because they really don't know what that means, and they are afraid that it's going to impact health as well, just because that they understand that they're going to be drilling in the Salton Sea, that there's going to, which drilling means more air pollution, more trucks are going to come. There's going to be building of more warehouses, which means once again, more dust, more air pollution. And so many of them are concerned, especially once again, because many of them feel like they're forgotten, like they're not being engaged. They're not being taken into consideration, especially because of the lack of resources, because there is a lack of healthcare services. If something happens to one of them or their children, they know that they have to make that 30 to 60 minute trip to the nearest hospital. And so many of them are concerned about what's going to happen.
Community partnership was critical to this project. When we came in, we had a very different question in mind, but then conversations with community partners and with schools and with parents, hearing about their concerns really shifted the questions that we were asking. And so I think that we were able to do research that really can have an impact in the community. And that's the real goal. And so the objective is to provide research and data that can help support actions for the community. And so by integrating community voices, we're able to ask the right questions rather than the questions that we might think are important as researchers. So I think having community voices drive the research and be involved in the process really makes the data that we collect more valuable and more applicable to the questions for the community. It was really critical for people from NIEHS, particularly the director, to come and visit and hear from community members. You know, we can write papers and present talks, but it's very different coming to a community and seeing the people that live there, the cumulative impacts of all of the different exposures that are happening, not only from the Salton Sea, but from agriculture, and also potentially from lithium extraction, and understand the context for the research that we do as NIEHS grantees, but also, you know, the work that we do with community, and really get a fuller picture of not only what's happening on the ground, but what it takes to conduct some of this research. But I think it was the most impactful for the folks from NIEHS to really engage with community and hear directly from them their concerns and where the research needs to go, how they want to be engaged in research, and what it means to them to have research in their communities and where they want to see that go. So after this event, Connie, what would you say the next steps should be? And what do you think the overall outlook is like for this kind of work?
The next steps for this event would be to conduct appropriate health assessments, to once again monitor asthma incidents, especially among children, and with also with the goal of bringing in more resources especially asthma management resources for parents, for residents and children living there. It's important for residents to become more engaged and understand more what does it mean when companies say they're going to conduct, when they're going to be extracting lithium, what are the consequences, and constantly assess the activities that are being conducted to ensure that the public's health is being protected.
We already have a lot of information. And so what I think the community needs now is an action plan. I think we need to think about how we're going to address cumulative impacts from all of these different exposures in this region and how we can support work to not only improve air quality from existing sources of pollution, the drying of the salt and sea, but also these potentially emerging sources from lithium extraction. Because, you know, families, children have a right to breathe clean air. And so we really need to be thinking about how we're supporting strategies and policies moving forward to make that happen. And so what I hope is really that the work that we're doing, the conversations that we're having in the community, and everything that happened in light of this visit with the NIEHS director can help support public health actions moving forward to improve community health, particularly for children in this area moving forward.
So I'm a first generation Latina PhD, and I'm a first one in my family to finish a four-year degree, but many of our family members were our farm workers. And so growing up, I remember going to San Joaquin Valley and during our summers, visiting uncles. And one of our uncles was really, he was really passionate about teaching us the important work that farm workers were doing in this country. So he would do tours where we were part of those tours of, let's go pick tomatoes. And it was a whole day thing. And it was really, I remember that those summers, but I remember how hard they worked. And so when I went over here, I went with that lens, and I was really saddened to just see how, it's just so different. So different. And it definitely feels like it's a place where people that are doing such a hard job, they're not being taken care of properly. And I was just like, wow, you know. And I heard about cases about farm workers getting sick and care, unfortunately dying. And just to find out that my uncles, some of them also died because of pesticide exposure. So that's something else that needs to be, you know, something totally different, but to lithium extraction, but it just gives you a perspective of the different complex problems faced by those living in this region. You know, they face multiple health problems. They earn very little. They may or may not have a car. They may have to figure out how to get to the closest hospital when needed. And I'm sure that just like my family growing up, they only go to the hospital when needed. Because, you know, there's also that fear of being, if they're immigrants, there's also that fear of being found, you know, many immigrants choose not to go to the hospital because they're afraid that they're going to get deported. And so they only go when to trusted sources. And so it's a lot that they have to deal with. And, you know, there was that case of that little girl, right? That apparently she passed away. She lived like 900 feet away from Salton Sea. And I could be wrong, but I know she lived by the outskirts. And she had an asthma attack, and they couldn't get to the hospital on time. And so that's, I think, already one too many.
Preventive Pros, the podcast, is produced by the Department of Population and Public Health Sciences at Keck School of Medicine of USC. To learn more about any of our episodes, or to subscribe to our monthly Preventive Dose newsletter featuring the latest in public health research and news, visit pphs.usc.edu/podcast. Thank you for listening.